Whoa. Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Kenda said, Kenda, my all-time favorite Mexican food, American style, was the seafood chimichanga served at Chi-Chi's before they closed. Currently, I would have to say that I like the paella. Paella is how it's
paella.
Pronounced. Paella.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Paella.
Make some room. Cliff and Kendall are back. No, seriously, they're morbidly obese. You're going to have to scoot over.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh! Oh, Cliff, do you think you could hold your belches through the intro at least?
Oh! You would think so, Kendall, but I cannot. I am not changing my... I'm not going to change for anybody, Kendall. I'm going to keep it real.
That sounds like a Dolly Parton song. I am not going to change for anybody.
I am just Jenny from the block over here, Kendall. I don't know, care for the rocks that you got. I'm still Jenny from the block.
I'm just Carl from the ghetto over here, Cliff.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Cliff, as we heard in our previously on, we have decided amenably. Is that the word? Am I going to start anew?
I think you want to say amiably.
Thank you. We have decided not to ever mention that Mexican dish again on the show.
We have made up. We have buried that Mexican hatchet in the ground. That is not a reference to Arizona. That is a reference to last week's Cinco de Mayo show. So if you want to know what we're talking about, you can listen
to that. That word will never be mentioned again on the show. It'll only be referred to as the Mexican dish, in
that
quotes.
Mexican dish. Never so, Cliff, to be heard from again.
How are you doing today? Are you real paranoid that nobody's going to listen to this show?
Kendall, for all the other obese people on campus, Kendall, I would like a standing ovation, round of applause that this awful semester is over.
Oh, yay!
It is over. It is summertime in our hearts and minds.
Now, Cliff, I have one question. Did you pass Bubbleology?
Bubbleology. I passed with a B last December.
I know. I any excuse to use that sound effect, I'm going to have to start coming up for some other reason to use it. People are real paranoid about that, Cliff.
I'm paranoid. Kendall, what makes you paranoid?
Well, first, hold on. In case our listeners don't know what paranoia is. Some people don't, Cliff. I do this for our listeners. Paranoia is a thought process heavily influenced by anxiety or fear, often to the point of irrationality and delusion. Mm-hmm. Paranoid thinking typically includes persecutory beliefs, including a perceived threat towards oneself. Now, speaking of that, you asked me what I'm paranoid about.
Yeah.
And I am paranoid about pretty much everything.
I know that you are.
Because I grew up in my mother's house.
Oh, your poor mother. Happy Mother's Day, Kendall's
Happy
mother.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. She knows I love her. She knows I wouldn't trade it for the world. But she made me paranoid. I'm afraid that everything is going to happen in the world. Which, and I don't mean to get off topic here, but I went to the Jay Leno show yesterday. Oh, it was so much fun. I love Jay Leno. The girl from The Office that plays Kelly Kapoor was there.
Yeah.
And basically her whole interview with Jay was her talking about all the things she's afraid of. And I thought, oh my God, Kelly's just like me. And I thought, I have to bring her up on our paranoia show because she was talking about how she's afraid if she won't go in the water in the ocean if she can't see her feet. She's afraid that some either dead body, corpse, or shark will eat her. And she's afraid that her guts will get sucked out by the drain of the pool, like her bowels will get sucked out.
I wish the drain would suck out some of my fat.
Oh, if only I would sit on the drain all day long.
You knew I was going to take it there. Now, Kendall, this is going to sound gay, but it's not. I think that we have rubbed off on one another. Over the last many years of knowing one another.
I wouldn't have thought gay until you said it, Cliff. Now I've got an image in my head.
We rub it off on each other, Kendall, every day. But I really think so because I think I've helped you become more blessedly vulgar
obese.
And obese. But
I think we helped each other on that one.
I used to be able to walk out the door and not think, did I accidentally, before I left, turn on all the stove burners and leave the doors unlocked and possibly put some hairspray in the microwave?
See, it happens, Cliff. My mother did it to me because we would be driving somewhere. We would go somewhere and we would get like 2 miles away from the house. And she would say, did I turn that coffee pot off? And many a days in my childhood, we spent driving 2 miles back to the house to make sure to check. And then when you get to the house, if you've forgotten something and you go back in, it's bad luck if you don't sit down for 20 seconds. So,
Kendra, we'll have to discuss that on some other old wives' tale show.
I know. But isn't that funny?
That is really funny. Now, Kendra, I have a friend of mine. This is not me, everybody. A friend of mine.
Some other obese, hairless person.
Some other obese, hairless person. He was telling me one time that he gets real paranoid if, like, he's been staying somewhere and he's looked up adult things on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
He has been known to drive well out of his way to go and make sure that the history and the cachet of the internet has
been
wiped.
You mean the catch?
The catch. Is that how you pronounce
that?
That's
how you pronounce it. I'm an expert on that, on computer words.
All right. yeah, I believe you, Kendra. Whatever you say.
Okay, good.
But we're, yeah. He goes and makes sure it's wiped clean.
Yeah. No,
he didn't want anybody
too.
To notice that.
You know, but now, this is real funny you say that because now, this other person that I know, no, I'm just kidding, it's me. I always clear my history after every sitting on the computer. And it's not because I'm searching porn all over the place, but I do it because I'm so paranoid that somebody's going to say, oh my God, here's history for his bank account. And here we can get in and steal all his money. See, it's because I'm paranoid. So it ties right back into this show. So I wipe my history clean after every single sitting.
Well, that's good. See, my paranoia and my laziness sometimes butt heads because I don't want, you know, I've had friends who, my friend Heather, who sometimes listens to the show very rarely, but I was like George Clooney at her wedding, if everybody remembers.
If everybody thinks back to that.
Think back to January 09, everybody. I was George Clooney at her wedding. but on her wedding day, she had some money stolen out of her account. which her account number happens to be 370. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I thought, are you kidding me? I'm so paranoid, I'm going to have to bleep that out.
Bleep it, get up. But no, she had some money. And so she was telling me, you know, oh, they're going to steal. And I'm sure that that's true. I'm sure. I've long said, if people want to steal my identity, please take it. And I wish you better luck than I've had with it. But, you know,
please steal my identity and be a skinny person.
And leave me Zac Efron's, okay?
Yeah.
Because I like to go back to the history, but that is not about paranoia. What else makes you paranoid, Kendall?
Oh, let's see. There are a multitude of things. I am paranoid of the ocean.
The whole ocean?
Yeah. I am terrified of like deep water and what's under there. And especially like if there's plumbing or like anything like electrical that's underwater, that just terrifies me. Like I used to be terrified to go down to the edge of the wave pool because I knew all the electronics were behind that wall. It just terrified me. I had an experience when I was a kid where this drain like backwashed while I was over it, and it scared the hell out of me, and it put some sort of fear into me.
Well, see, I had an experience when I was a kid where I was actually just telling.
Were you eating a lot of food?
I was eating a lot of food, and it made me think, God, this is the way I want to live my life, and I am. But no.
You should have been paranoid about that.
I was very, very young, and I'm sure I've said this in some of the 100 shows, but we've told every story by this point.
Yeah.
So
there's no new stories. It's a retelling.
By episode 124, we're just saying, remember when we told this story last time? Here's some new insight. But no, I walked upstairs. I was very little, and there was a frog in the commode.
Oh, I've heard this story. I don't think you've told it on the show, but I've heard it.
There was a frog in the commode, Kendall, and it terrified me to the core. And so for a couple things, I have a lifelong fear of frogs.
Yes.
That are not made out of felt. I am terrified that they are going to jump and suction to my face.
Which I love that you're afraid of frogs. I think that is hilarious. And every time
they're
going to
jump behind me, Kendall, I can handle it.
I can't wait to get one in my hands and get near you with it.
I will punch you in the nuts. I will do it, and I will not feel, and I will not apologize. But anyway, I'm afraid of that. But for, and long story short, which is too late.
Too late.
That I went and told my mom. I said, "There's a frog in the toilet." She said, "No, there's not. Go tell your father." He was outside. I went and told my father. I said, "There's a frog in the toilet." He said, "I don't think so." And I went and told my mom. I said, "My dad's not coming in." Blah blah blah. So she went up, and this is terrible. Do not judge her. This was the
80s. A different time.
It was a different time back then, everybody. But she dropped the frog out the window.
Oh.
She got out and dropped the frog out the window. But it made me terrified of frogs suction into my face, and it made me terrified of sitting down to poop. Yeah, because I was afraid that while I was pooping, a frog was going to swim up and jump up on my booty hole. So for years after that, Kendall, years, I just sort of perched above the toilet and to where... Because now we're so enormous, we sit down and it's pitch black in the toilet. There's no light getting in.
Yeah.
But I tried to perch so that there was always light, and I would periodically look down. Is anything crawling up out of the hole? No. Okay.
Well, yeah.
But that's no joke, Kendall. I really did that.
I know, and neither are these, Cliff. It's time for some bad jokes. Get paranoid about these jokes because they're going to be bad.
Oh! Kendall, did you just touch me?
No, I didn't, Cliff. I did not at all. Now, Cliff, 15 minutes into the flight from Kansas City to Toronto.
Oh, my God. Kendall, you know why I'm paranoid? Because you didn't say, hey, Cliff.
I know. We'll see. I wanted to make you paranoid. Now, the captain...
I feel like I'm in an alternate reality.
Hey, Cliff. It's time for some bad jokes. Now, Cliff, 15 minutes into the flight from Kansas City to Toronto, the captain announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, one of our four engines have failed. There is nothing to worry about. Our flight will take an hour longer than scheduled, but we still have three engines left." So, Cliff, 30 minutes later, the captain announced, "One more engine has failed, and the flight will take an additional 2 hours, but don't worry, we can fly fine on two engines." Now, I'd be paranoid at this point. So an hour later, the captain says, "One more engine has failed and our arrival will be delayed another 3 hours, but don't worry, we still have one engine left." Now this young blonde passenger turned to the man in the seat next to her and she said, "If we lose one more engine, we'll be up here all day."
Oh.
She was not paranoid, Cliff. She was stupid.
What a stupid bitch. Speaking of, Kendall, there was a lovely little girl entering class for the first time.
So sweet.
When a friendly little boy approached her, and this was not little Johnny.
Oh.
In case you were worried, it is not Johnny.
Damn.
This little boy, he says, "My name's Ted. What's yours?" And the little girl, she replies, "Well, my name is Happy Butt." And the little boy, he says, "I'm going to tell the teacher on you for lying." And so he goes to the teacher and says that the little girl has lied to him about her name. And so she goes and she says, "Well, hi, what's your name?" "Happy Butt," says the little girl. "No, no," teacher says. "What is your real name?" "Happy Butt," the little girl insists. "Shame on you for lying," says the teacher. "You go straight to the principal's office right this minute."
Oh, poor little
girl. And so she goes and she just knocks on the door and he opens it and he says, "Why are you here?" the principal asks. And little girl, she says, "Well, they think I'm lying when I tell them my name is Happy Butt." "Well, your name can't be Happy Butt," the principal says. "I'm going to call your mama and straighten this out. You must not lie to us about your name." And so the principal, he just calls that mama on the phone and he says, "We have your little girl here and she keeps telling us her name is Happy Butt." "Oh," says the mother, "that must be Gladys." "Little girl," the principal says, "your mother says your name is Gladys." The little girl answers, "Happy butt, glad ass, what's the difference?" Happy butt, Kendall, can you believe
I
that she thought
I may legally have my name changed to Happy Butt. Cliff and Happy Butt, coast to coast.
I think fat and fat.
Fat and fatter is what we should rename ourselves.
And we'll just flip-flop. One of us will be fat, one of us will be
fatter. Yeah, we won't say who's fatter. Now, Cliff, a guy walked into a bar and he ordered a triple scotch.
No.
And the bartender, he poured him the drink, and the guy drank it down in one gulp. Whoa, said the bartender. Something bad must have happened. He said, well, I came home early today. Answered the guy. He said, I went up to the bedroom and there was my wife having sex with my best friend.
Oh.
And so the bartender, he poured the dude another triple shot. He said, this one's on the house. And the guy, he gulped it down once again. The bartender says, did you say anything to your wife? And the guy says, well, yeah, I walked up to her and told her we were through. Pack your bags and get out, I told her. And he said, well, what about your friend? Did you say anything to him? And he said, I looked him straight in the eye and I said, bad dog.
Oh.
Oh. Bestiality, Cliff. Kendall. Bestiality. I'm keeping it sassy.
Have dropped us to another level on this show.
I searched filthy jokes this week. I wanted to be like you.
Oh, now I was waiting for that one to end up in heaven or at the pearly gates or something. But now, Kendall, this joke reminded me of you.
A big obese person walked into a bar.
Fat friends went out golfing, and their tee shots. Oh, Kendall, I don't even know what this means, but their tee shots were horrible.
Oh, mine
One
are horrible.
One fat guy, he hit it way left, and the other way right.
That's exactly what happened to me last time I went golfing.
Oh, Kendall, what a great story. They decided that the shots were so bad that they just meet up at the hole. And which reminds me of a personal story.
That one reminds me more of you.
The first guy looks and looks and finally finds his ball sitting down deep in a field of beautiful buttercups.
This story is so nasty, Cliff.
So he promptly pulls out his 7-iron and starts whacking away.
Oh, God.
Buttercups are flying everywhere, but the ball will not budge.
Don't you hate
finally,
that?
Finally, Kendall, you're not, you may want to sit down.
I'm sitting.
Because this, it gets a little bit fantastic.
I figured.
All right, well, finally, Mother Nature gets mad. And so she comes up from the ground and says to the man, I've created this beautiful field of buttercups, and you have no respect for them at all. Now they are ruined, and I'm going to have to punish you. Since these are buttercups, your punishment is that you cannot have butter for a year.
Oh, no butter.
Well, the man just started to laugh, Kendall, and he went back to whacking at them buttercups.
Oh, I'd have cried.
And Mother Nature, she was so upset, she says, hey, this is no laughing matter. What do you find so funny? And so this fat golfer, he looks up and he says, my buddy's over on the other side in the pussy willows.
Oh, that's Kendall. Nasty. Cliff.
Kendall, now, I have to point out, you didn't know where that joke was going at any minute, did you?
I had no idea where that was going to end up. That was like a good movie, Cliff. It had so many twists and turns.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that Mother Nature lived in the ground. That was a big surprise
to me.
She does.
She does.
This one's for the Pope. What is the difference between acne and a Catholic priest, Cliff?
Oh, God.
Well, acne, Cliff, it usually comes on a boy's face after he turns 12.
Oh, Kendall, that is a vile oldie but a goodie.
Cliff, what's slimy, cold, long, and smells like pork?
I don't want to hear the answer.
Yeah, you do.
Because I know it. I don't want to hear it.
Kermit
I don't want to hear
frog
it. I don't want to hear it. I don't
want to Speaking of frogs.
Kendall, I'm going to pretend that joke didn't happen. Here is an interesting story.
You loved it. Okay.
Speaking of my obese man on campus status, here is an interesting story about campus life and the importance of education.
Oh, it's so important.
Kendall, you will not believe this. In a bubbleology class.
Oh, my God. I don't believe it already.
The prof was discussing the high glucose levels found in, you guessed it, semen. And a young female, she was a freshman, don't you know, she raised her hand and she asked, if I understand, you're saying there's a lot of glucose, as in sugar, in semen? And the prof, he says, well, that's correct. And he went on to add some statistical info.
Of course.
And she raised her hand again, Kendall, and, oh man, she showed her ass in class this day. She said, then why doesn't it taste sweet? Oh, oh Kendall. After a stunned silence, the whole class burst out laughing. That poor girl's face turned bright red, and as she realized exactly what she had inadvertently said, or rather implied, she picked up her books without a word and walked out of class. And Kendall, she just never returned. She dropped that class. However, as she was going out the door, the prof's reply was classic. Totally straight-faced, he answered her question, as only a bubbleology prof can do. He says it doesn't taste sweet because the taste buds for sweetness are on the tip of your tongue, and not the back of your throat.
Oh!
Kendall, did you know semen had so much sugar in it?
No, I didn't. No wonder you are so fat, Cliff.
No wonder I cannot lose weight. You took the zinger right out of my mouth.
Oh, another zinger right there.
So to speak, right out of my mouth. Kendall, speaking of my mouth, what two words will clear out a men's changing room quicker than anything else?
Cliff.
Nice dick. What do you do? What do you get when you cross a rooster and peanut butter?
Oh, I don't know, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall, speaking of you, a cock that sticks to the roof of your mouth. Ooh. And finally, Kendall, before we nail this coffin shut, why do women prefer old gynecologists?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know.
Well, it's because they're shaky hands.
No. Ooh, okay, Cliff, is that all the jokes you have?
That's all I got, because that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more.
Time to take a break.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
Hey, don't go anywhere. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after this.
I come home in the evening light, and Kendall says, when you gonna start eating right? Oh, Kendall, did you know I eat 501, and nothing beats 501. Oh, nothing beats 501. 501 bars, fiber. One bars. Yes, 501 bars, nothing beats them, not with a stick.
And now back to the show.
All right, Cliff, we are back.
Oh, my goodness.
Those jokes were so horrific, I needed a big, long break.
Paranoid during that break that we would never return.
I'm sure that's what our listeners were. They're probably real paranoid.
Cliff. Kendall, did we ask a question on Facebook?
We did ask a question, Cliff, and our question was this. What makes you paranoid? Do you think someone or something is out to get you? So now, first of all, Jason Brent White,
weirdo,
he said, why are you trying to kill me? So he was being paranoid with our question.
Because you're such a weirdo.
Because he's such a weirdo. Cindy Chang says, I always think someone is stalking me, or that someone is living in my attic and taking showers when I'm at work. My biggest fear is ending up on the Dateline, where they use the same two pictures of the victim throughout the entire show, just from different angles. Don't judge me. I don't judge you at all, Cindy. I'm sort of afraid now that somebody's going to live in my closet while I'm gone.
Kendall,
she's opening a new paranoia. Yeah.
I think that it was either an Unsolved Mysteries or a TV movie where somebody lived in somebody's walls for a while.
Oh, I hated Unsolved Mysteries. That's what terrified me when I was a kid. That's why I'm paranoid today.
That terrified me. I always thought that while I was watching Unsolved Mysteries, somebody would come to the door and I would never be seen or heard from again.
Yeah.
And also, now Cindy's afraid that people are going to be living in her attic. A friend of mine, honestly, somebody did come in, break into her house, and it's sad because they were homeless, but they broke into her house like repeatedly and took showers.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, that's why she got a deadbolt.
Now I'm going to be paranoid. All right, and Nicole says, my mom was an ER nurse, so I'm paranoid about everything from roaches crawling in my ears at night to accidentally shitting my pants if I get hit by a car.
Oh my God, that's why you have to wear clean underwear so it's not already dirty.
Exactly. Also, driving behind trucks that have stuff in the back, if they hit a pothole, a ladder might fly through my windshield and decapitate me, final destination style. I'm so glad that there are other people out there as paranoid as I am.
Yeah.
But just to soothe Nicole's paranoia, I got hit by a car and I did not shit my pants. And I actually had a bug fly into my ear when I was a kid and beat on my eardrum for 2 hours till it came out in the ER. So don't worry about those. Worry more about somebody living in your attic.
Is that all of our paranoid answers?
That's all of our paranoid answers. But I know somebody else that is extremely paranoid that we haven't heard from in a while, but I'm sure she has some paranoid tips for us, and that is my mother.
Yay!
It's time for the news from Kendall's mother with all the news that's fit to worry about.
or be paranoid about here, there, and everywhere. All right, Cliff, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I want to hear it.
Let's see what she has to say.
Well, this is my boy, and you guess who it is. It's the Kendall's mom, the dreaded Kendall's mom, with all the news in California, Tennessee, and around the world. Okay, to start with, we'll start out in California. How many earthquakes does it take to get Kendall back home? You know, it's been like 15 out there, not counting the little tremors they've had. And then there's tsunamis. How many tsunamis have they had?
Zero.
I just quit counting then. So I don't know what to do about them. But you know, things are getting worse and worse. I watch Crime Time a lot, and they told me that California is the gangland capital of the world. You know what? You get to where you can't even trust your own shadow, because you know why? When you turn around, you'll run into it, and they'll probably stab you before you'll know it's your shadow. Well, it's only the shadow, so I don't know whether it hurts you or not. And you know what? All them volcanoes that's been going on, that ash, planes can't fly, can't see where they're going. And I'm not lying, you can check on everything I'm saying, it's all documented, check your computers and you can find out. But let me tell you one thing, put tape over the camera because people can see what you're doing. They can see you in there typing and looking around and sitting there with no clothes on while you're sitting around on the computer. So you better watch all that stuff. And remember me, here I am in Nashville, Tennessee, with all the rain we've had, 15 inches of rain, with flood and running out of water, and traffic's at a standstill. And guess what happens? I get attacked by two big dogs that's trying to kill my little boy. But I stepped in and then whipped him and beat him and knocked him away. Of course, they bit me, but you know what? That he just stands by me through thick and thin. He don't take off to California like some people do.
Oh,
but
wow.
I saved his life. Even though them big dogs bit me, you know, love never dies. Remember that, Kendall, on this Mother's Day. And I'll tell you one more thing. Forever and always, my baby, you'll be.
Aww.
Now, as I close, remember how it is out there. You can say it, not it.
Dangerous. Why?
And I'm very, very
I know you are.
Cliff, you pay attention too. Let
Cliff.
Me tell you how it is out there. Love y'all, boys. Y'all hang in there. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
First of all, I should say that when she refers to her little boy, she means her dog, Mr. Russell.
Uh-huh.
So her and her dog did get attacked by dogs this week, but they're both okay. A little traumatized, little cuts, but they're okay. Whew, there was so much information there to cover, Cliff.
There was. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, though. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. Now, I know that Nashville is underwater still.
Nashville is underwater, Kendall, but that does not stop history.
Well, it doesn't, but hold on. Before history, I just want to say one thing. Text Red Cross to 90999 if you want to help Nashville, or call 615-250-4300. And with that being said, it's time for Cliff's History Lesson! Cliff, what happened in history?
Kendall, this segment alone is a historical artifact. We
I know.
Have not done it in so long.
People are
but
gonna
anyway,
listen
just
to it.
Smithsonian. Refresher course. This week, just tell you what happened in history this week. It's real informational. Kendall, on May 9th in history.
Uh-huh. Oh, my
happened.
God. Why did that happen in history? What year was that, Cliff? What
that
year?
That was Hitler, 1942.
That was right after he gave his famous speech. He went...
Yeah. Evil belch. But now, later, 1955, on May 9th, Kendall, the show Sam and Friends debuted on a local TV station. It was the first television appearance by Jim Henson and his puppet that would later become Kermit the Frog.
Oh, I love Kermit and I love
Me
Jim Henson.
Me too.
Even though his fingers smell like pork.
I can't handle that. Now, in 1970, 100,000 people They marched on Washington protesting the Vietnam War. Now, don't you kind of wish we had been there with them, Kendall?
I do. We marched on Washington when Bush got reelected.
That's right. And I marched in happiness when Obama was inaugurated.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus. And speaking of the piano man in the sky, the piano man on the earth was born May 9th, 1949. Billy Joel. Happy birthday. On May 10th, Kendall, you'd never believe it, 1994, Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as South Africa's first black president.
94?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're so old.
We are old. Kendall, on May 11th, Irving Berlin, author of White Christmas, one of our favorites, was born in 1888. And now 1858... Minnesota was admitted as the 32nd state in the Union.
Yay, Minnesota.
And Kendall, thinking about Minnesota, it may be the only place that I may be more meant to be other than New York City, because listen to stuff about these Minnesota statistics. Minnesota gave us Garrison Keillor and Lake Wobegon.
Aww.
Minnesota gave us Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Aww, I love Minnesota.
Minnesota gave us The Mary Tyler Moore Show was set in Minneapolis. And Minnesota gave us one of my beloved heroes, Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts comic strip.
Well, it looks like it next is going to be Cliff and Kendall Live from Minnesota. That's going to be our new show.
Can you believe that? Really is sort of stunning that I owe so much to Minnesota. But anyway, May 12th, we're almost done, everybody. Historically,
thank God.
May 12th. George Carlin was born, one of our filthy forefathers, in 1937. And May 13th, finally, 1923, our beloved Bea Arthur was born.
I miss her.
I miss her, too. And a real sexy year to be born, Kendall. Ooh. That was 1986 when Robert Pattinson...
Robert Pattinson was born in 1986?
I know, Kendall. Isn't it bad that we have vivid memories of 1986?
We were in kindergarten.
He was just being born. Yeah, I started kindergarten that year. So anyway, Kendall, and finally, the year of our birth, 1981.
The year
of
our Lord.
Not to give too much away. The year of our Lord, 1981. The number one song this week was a great song by Sheena Easton. My baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 till 5 again. Don't you love that song?
I love it. I love it even more now that I know it came out the year I was born.
It came out the year we were born, and
why
it was number
are we
one.
So old and fat.
This week, and it was used in two of my favorite sequences on Seinfeld, when Kramer pretended to work at that one business and he took a briefcase full of crackers to work every day, and when George had to pretend to be handicapped when he worked for Play Now, and they played it as he used the chairlift to go up the stairs while everybody walked up and down past him. So anyway, there you go, Kendall. That's history, and now this segment goes back into history where it belongs.
Back into history. Oh, Cliff, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Oh, Kendall.
That's a famous Seinfeld quote.
It is a famous Seinfeld quote. Right up there with yada, yada, yada.
and Master a dingo of my ate my baby.
And a dingo. The dingo ate my baby.
Which, that's so sad that a dingo ate her baby, Cliff.
Kendall, did you ever see that movie about that?
No.
A Cry in the Dark?
No, I didn't see that.
Or A Cry in the Night. It's called one of them. It's a true story.
What, that a dingo?
A dingo.
Ate?
Yes. Well, it was. They don't know. She the mother went to prison, but she swears up and down a dingo ate her baby.
Oh, great! Now when I have a child, I'll be paranoid about that too, Cliff.
Well, Kendall, when you go camping on the Australian outback and a dingo eats little Elle, it'll be sad.
Little Elle, and this is sad too, Cliff. This freaking sad music. It happens every week, but yet I still am not prepared for it when it starts.
120 sad musics, Kendall. There's nothing sadder than that.
Can you believe we've been going on that long, Cliff?
No.
Our listeners are paranoid that we're going to stop soon. But don't be paranoid about that.
Are they paranoid about that? Or they're paranoid because we'll never stop? We don't know.
If you're paranoid about us stopping, just check out all the places we are, and you'll find that we have no intention of stopping. We're at cliffandkendall.com.
Ever.
cliffandkendall.blogspot.com.
We will never.
Facebook.com/Cliff and Kendall, Twitter.com/Cliff and Kendall. You can email us anything you want at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com. You can call us on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT. That's 4328. Or you can search for us on iTunes by searching Cliff and Kendall, where you'll find our show. And you'll also find our Kathy Griffin show. We are enormous, Cliff. We are everywhere.
We are enormous.
Sit around the internet, we really sit around the internet.
One show could not contain us. Kendall, I have a quote. Do you have a quote about being paranoid?
Oh, I do have a quote. My quote is this, Cliff. Sometimes paranoia is just having all the facts, and that's William S. Burroughs.
Oh, now mine is this. I am a kind of paranoiac in reverse. I suspect people of plotting to make me happy. And that was said by the brilliant author J.D. Salinger.
The Arthur.
The Arthur. A known Arthur. A known Arthur. The well-known Arthur. J.D. Salinger.
Oh, Cliff, take us home down those paranoid roads.
Take
is that a word?
Paranoid roads. I'm Cliff.
Oh, and I'm Kendall, and I'm so paranoid that you've already turned our show off. But thanks for listening.
Oh, maybe it's all for the best. Kendall, I said I'm Cliff. We love you.
We'll see you here next week.
See, I was paranoid that I hadn't said it all yet.
I know, and I'm paranoid that people aren't coming back next week. So make sure you come back next week.
They may not, Kendall. They may be deleting us as we speak.
We won't be so paranoid next week, we promise.
Nah, we'll just let it roll easy next week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.
Because of that, and also because...
Well, that's scary enough.